Tremendous rage, I told her, shut your mouth and act your age.
She didn't stop her blabbing, so I gave her a sock. Then I hit her on the head with a great big rock. She stopped all her gabbing and went quietly to sleep. It was very, very nice of her to be so sweet. Admires my brains, the way I handle my arm. A mother loves me now and is very good to me. I'm a caveman, madam, and that's the way I'm gonna be.
This is the beast in me.
The name of this story is The Witch's Vacation. When you hear this sound, you'll know it's time to turn the page. Now, let's begin. We know a witch. She lives next door. My brother and I have so much fun with her. We never like to go away from home. But last summer, we had to go to camp. We felt bad because the witch wasn't coming with us. It was raining when we got to camp. They gave us a tent number, and we ran to find the tent. When we saw the tent, we were afraid to go inside. What a surprise! We all put on our bathing suits, but we couldn't go swimming. It was raining even harder now. Then I saw something funny. In just one spot on the beach, it was not raining at all. And someone was there waving at us. Guess who it was? The other kids thought our friend was funny looking. One of them made fun of her bathing suit. The witch just smiled and turned him into a terrific swimmer. But just for a minute. Then she gave all the kids some water wings to play with. My brother built a sandcastle, but a big kid knocked it down. It didn't matter. The witch helped my brother build another sandcastle. We were so glad that our witch was with us again. The next day, she packed a picnic basket. But by the time we got to the picnic grounds, all the tables were taken. So we ate on the witch's picnic tablecloth. Then everyone hiked to Lookout Point. The big kids left us far behind. The witch just smiled. She said we would get to the top first. And we did. The witch helped to make camping fun for everyone. One night, the cook couldn't get the campfire going. It looked as if we would not have a weenie roast that night. Our good witch came to the rescue. Having a witch at camp makes a big difference. It was turning out to be a wonderful vacation. Our witch was there the day I wanted to go riding. There was just one horse left. The kids called her Old Nelly Bones. I called her Nelly the Great. And she was. When we wanted to go sailing, the witch found a sailboat. Just the right size for us. One day I took out a rowboat so my brother could go fishing. He wasn't having much luck until... The witch let him use her broom for a fishing pole. After a while, the witch went ashore to take a nap. We were having so much fun that we didn't see where we were going. There was a waterfall ahead and we couldn't stop. We tried the witch's broom. It only works for witches. I wished for the witch as hard as I could. Back at the camp, the witch woke up. She knew we were in trouble. But she didn't have her broom. How could she get to us in time? In a wink, she changed the water to ice. And rushed to save us. Good old witch. We flew back to camp. The witch changed the ice back to water, and we celebrated by having a swimming party. It was the best vacation ever, thanks to our witch.
Hi, this is Country Joe McDonald, and you're listening to Radio Valencia.
We'll be right back. Thank you. Radio Valencia.
Nadie puede foquear con nosotros.
Something you should listen to.
eclectic dyspepsia. It's on Valencia Radio Monday. 6 to 8.
Nero before Zod.
Stairway to Stardom. It's the show that reaches out to new talent, reaches out to people who have the ambition and the ability to succeed, but need to be given the opportunity to be seen and heard. Talent coordinator Tilly searches out this talent and brings it before the camera for your approval and for their first step on the stairway to stardom. If you're interested in appearing on the show, stay tuned for further information.
If loneliness drives some girls to prostitution, it drives some men in another direction. The history of homosexuality is as long as the history of man. From the glory that once was Greece to the decadence that destroyed Rome, homosexuality has been both despised and idolized. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Frederick the Great, Leonardo da Vinci, and Michelangelo are but some of the names that any homosexual will point to as examples of virility and a defense of his way of life. Though nothing new, homosexuality is having an upsurge since the war. Whether it is an actual increase or merely an increased public acceptance is a point to be argued. The Mattachine Society, an organization for homosexuals, claims that one male out of six is homosexual. Homosexuals no longer hide in shadows, giving secret signals of recognition to each other. Rather, they have joined together into groups or clubs in an attempt to seek freedom and acceptability for their type of sexual inclination. They can be found in all walks of life and on any street in this lonely world, forever searching for whatever it is that drives them on.
Old Ones, Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. with Amy Lawless on Radio Valencia, Sounds of the Mission.
This is Amy Lawless, and I approve this message.
I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell I'm okay, you see. Camp Page, Korea, Sunday, October the 5th, 1975. Dear Mom, well, I guess I'll tell you all the death story of my ugly birthmark, when and how I got my birthmark off. Well, it all started when the swimming pool here was open. Every time I went down there to get a good tan, everybody would look at my birthmark. So for a while, I let it go. It really didn't bother me that much. But I kept looking at it in the mirror, and I just got so fed up with it. So one day, while I was working out, I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be an army doctor. And so I asked him about cutting off something like a birthmark on your body. And he replied that the army wouldn't do nothing like that, and that it was against army policy to ever cut something like that off your body. Well, I had told myself that there's no way of doing it, and I had to live with it. And I convinced myself to just live with my birthmark. I said God put it on there, and so it'll stay there. Well, I went for about a week, and everybody asked me, what's that on your back? Until I got so tired of it. So I talked to a one Sergeant Joe, who told me he knows someone in Hong Kong that would cut it off. Sergeant Joe is one of our Korean MPs that live here on post. And you know what? He sure can speak good English. So the next day, me and him went to the hospital. It didn't look like a hospital. And he and I talked to the doctor there. You know what? The doc knew real good English, too. He went to school in the U.S., so he knew of what I wanted. Well, he just talked to me for a while and just asked me a few questions and told me to come back the next morning at 10. The next night, I was so scared that I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning, I got up, got dressed, went ate breakfast, and boy, was I scared. I just thought that if someone found out I did it, boy, would I be in trouble. But I kept right on thinking about surprising you all when I come home and didn't have no birthmark. And I even surprised me. It was my one dream to have it off. So I went to the doc at about 10 o'clock, and he was there. We went in his office, and he talked to me a little more and looked at my birthmark a little more. Then we went into the next room, where three fine, good-looking nurses gave me a physical before going into the operating room. Then I told the doc, Doc Jams, that I wanted to be fully asleep before ever seeing a butcher knife. But seems he had other plans of his own in his mind. The nurses gave me a shot. Boy, that just about killed me. And I thought that it was to put me to sleep. So I was expecting to fall asleep. But then all of a sudden the doctor said, let's go in here. So I got up, and all I had on was my jeans. They didn't even wheel me in the operating room. And guess what? It reminded me of when I worked at Colburn's meat shop. Really, there was just a long table in the center of the room. And another doctor, with this rag around his mouth, I was a-fixin' to turn and run around. But I walked to the table and he told me to lay on my left side, so I did. First, about seven good-looking nurses came into the room. I didn't even care to look at them. All I was worrying about was that stupid guy laying on a table, meaning me. Well, the doctor put a red tracer on my back. He said he had to draw a diagram of how my skin ran. So when he sews me up, he wouldn't go as crooked as a snake. Then after he got finished playing around with the skin on my back, he said, this is going to hurt a little. I looked around, and boy, what a needle. It had to be at least 9 inches long. He stuck it right in the middle of my birthmark. See, all this time I thought I was supposed to go to sleep. But not a thing like that happened. I even tried to help myself to go to sleep, and that didn't even work. The doctor said it was the deadened area of my birthmark, but I still felt him touch my back. Then all of a sudden I felt something running down my back, so I figured it was blood from him cutting my birthmark. Well, he pulled and he tugged, and finally something happened. The shot that he gave me was wearing off, and a couple of times I felt him cutting my skin, and it got so bad that I balled up my fist, and so help me, if that other doctor and nurses hadn't held me down, I would have smacked him upside his face. Mom, Dad, believe me, I went through some kind of pain. After he sewed me up and wiped the blood off my back, he said I was finished. Boy, was I glad. Then I got up and I looked around me. And was I dizzy. I looked and I saw about a sheet full of blood. Not that much, but there was a lot of rags with blood. Then he picked up something out of the pan. And guess what? That's the first time I seen my birthmark in person, looking at me square in the face. And boy, was it ugly. I asked him how many stitches did it take, and he said 21. Then I walked to his office, and he told me how much. But I really didn't care, just as long as it was over. It cost me 40,000 wons, and in American money, it would be $80. Well, I wasn't pleased with the price, but I sure didn't want him to put it back on. He then gave me an injection shot and pain pills, and I went home to Campage, where I went to work at 3 o'clock. The operation took 1 hour and 45 minutes and $80 of my money. But one important thing is, it took the birthmark off. I went back for 5 days, getting bandages changed and more injection shots, which a pretty good-looking nurse gave them to me. After a week and a half, he took the stitches out, and I haven't gone there since, and I won't. Well, now it's okay, and I feel okay too. I'll send you all a picture when I develop my film, okay? Now you all know, and I told you all, I'd come back home different, didn't I? Love to all, your son Gail. P.S. You know what, Mom? Now I'm starting to worry about the scar on my back. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her I'm okay, you see.
This is Smelly Kelly from Red Meat. And when I'm in San Francisco, and that's all the fucking time, I listen to Radio Valencia because they play that good roots shit. God bless you. Take care. Say hello to the children.
Sam,
I am.
Do
you
like green eggs
and ham? I do not
like them.
Sam,
I
am. I do not
like green eggs
and ham.
Would you like them
here
or there?
I would not
like them
here
or there.
I would not
like them
anywhere. I do not
like green eggs
and ham. I do not
like them.
Sam,
I
am.
Would you
like them
in
a house?
Would you
like them
with
a
mouse?
I do not
like them
in
a
house.
I
do not
like them
with
a
mouse. I
do
not
like them
here
or there.
I do not
like them
anywhere.
I
do not
like green eggs
and ham.
I
do not
like them.
Sam,
I
am.
Would you
eat them
in
a
box?
Would you
eat them
with
a
box? Not
in
a
box.
Not with
a
box. Not
in
a house. Not with
a
mouse. I
would
not
like them
here
or there.
I would
not like them
anywhere.
I
would
not
eat
green eggs
and ham.
I
do not
like them.
Sam,
I
am.
Would
you
could
you
in
a car
eat them
here
they are.
I would not
could
not
in
a car.
You
may
like them.
You
will
see.
You
may
like them
in
a
tree.
I
would
not
in
a
tree.
I
would
not
could not
in
a
tree.
Not
in
a car.
You
let
me
be.
I
do not
like them
in
a
box.
I
do not
like them
with
a
box.
I
do not
like them
in
a
house.
I
do not
like them
with
a
mouse.
I
do not
like them
here
or there.
I do not
like them
anywhere.
I
do not
like green eggs
and ham.
I
do not
like them.
Sam,
I
am.
Train,
a
train,
a
train,
a
train.
C-
could,
you
would,
you
on
a
train,
not
on
a
train,
not
in
a
creek,
not
in
a
car.
Sam,
let
me
be.
I
would
not,
could not
in
a
box.
I could
not,
would not
with
a
box.
I will
not
eat them
with
a
mouth.
I will
not
eat them
in
a
house.
I will
not
eat them
here
or
there.
I will
not
eat them
anywhere.
I
do
not
like
them.
Sam,
I
am
say
in
the dark
here
in
the
dark.
Would
you,
could
you,
in
the dark.
I would
not,
could not,
in
the dark.
Would
you,
could
you,
in
the rain.
I would
not,
could not,
in
the
rain.
Not
in
the
dark.
Not
on
a
train.
Not
in
a car.
Not
in
a
tree.
I
do
not
like
them.
Sam,
you
see.
Not
in
a
house.
Not
in
a
box.
Not
with
a
mouth.
Not
with
a
box.
I will
not
eat
them
here
or
there.
I
do
not
like
them
anywhere.
You
do
not
like
green
eggs
and
ham.
I do
not
like
them.
Sam,
I am
could
you
would
you
with
a
goat.
I
would
not
could
not
with
a
goat.
Would
you
could
you
on
a
boat.
I could
not,
would
not
on a
boat.
I not,
will
not
with
a
goat.
I
will
eat
them
in
the
rain.
I will
eat
them
on
the
train
not
in
the
dark.
Not
in
a
tree.
Not
in
a
car.
You
let
me
be.
I
do
not
like them
in
a
box.
Do
not
like
them
with
a
box.
I
will
not
eat them
in
a house.
Do
not
like
them
with
a
box.
I
do
not
like
them
here
or
there.
I
do
not
like
them
anywhere.
I
do
not
like
green
eggs
and
ham.
I
do
not
like
them.
Sam,
I
am
you
do
not
like
them.
So
you
say
try
them,
try
them,
and
you
may
try
them,
and
you
may
I
say
Sam,
if
you
will
let
me
be,
I
will
try
them.
You
will
see,
say
I
like
green
eggs
and
ham.
I
do
I
like them.
Sam,
I
am
and
I
would
eat them
in
a
boat.
And
I
would
eat them
with
a
goat.
And
I will
eat them
in
the
rain
and
in
the dark
and
on
a
train
and
in
a
car
and
in
a
tree.
They
are
so
good
you
see.
So
I will
eat them
in
a
box.
And
I will
eat them
with
a
box.
And
I will
eat them
in
a
house.
And
I will
eat them
with
a
mouth.
And
I will
eat them
here
and
there.
Say
I will
eat them
anywhere.
I
do
so
like
green eggs
and
ham.
Thank
you,
Sam.
I
am.
Trusted and replaced with a fastball of thoughts. But as live. That's